Friday, 6 to 9 on Smile 90.4 FM.
Wednesday morning, talking about smart homes and talking about now that, you know, Eskom's implemented higher stages of load shedding. What happens if you do have a smart home and at the same time you want to be off the grid? How does it affect, you know, doing all of those things? And then I thought, I've got friends at Integro Energy. Craig Heathcote-Marks is with us from Integro Energy. Craig, good morning.
Good morning, Ron. Good morning, team.
Good morning. Craig, first things first, what is the first things that people ask for when they say, we want to have a smart home, or we want to have a home that's, you know, in some way connected to the internet? What's the first thing that you kind of can do to your home?
Well, Ron, I think it's important to remember that a smart home, you know, effectively means that you're going to be controlling, you know, appliances, thermostats, lights, those sort of things, and you're going to be doing that from, you know, central point. So it would be a cell phone or a tablet, possibly.
Sure.
So essentially, you know, you're going to be using the internet to facilitate that remote access.
Got you.
Yes. So I would say the first thing to look at is a stable internet connection.
Okay.
You know, fiber is probably going to be a first prize for that. And then once you've got a good connection, you're also going to want to make sure that you've got a strong Wi-Fi network that that covers the premises. And, you know, the network stability is going to be important here. And, yeah, from there, I think it's just a good idea to speak to a reliable technology company.
Yes.
You know, you want to get advice on the best devices, the best equipment, just based on what you want to achieve, yeah.
And obviously, you know, from a financial point of view, it's what do you want and what budget do you have? Because that's a big role. You know, you
sure
can say, well, how long is a piece of string? I want to take my house and make everything smart. I want to operate the lights, the air conditioning, the this, the that. Yeah, sure you can. You can do all of that. But, you know, then again, you know, you're gonna pay for what you want. It's like anything in life. Craig, I know that you guys specialize in energy as well. And what are some of the, if I think about it, the first thing I think about when it comes to smart, do people first look at alternative energy supply before going smart? Is it kind of a prerequisite when you want to look at a home going smart? Do you kind of go, well, why don't you first get your home off the grid to a degree?
Yeah, well, look, I think that is definitely one of the limitations we all have as South Africans if we're wanting to have a smart home.
Yeah.
Power is definitely a problem there. So you are going to want to be able to power the system in some way, you know, through either the use of inverters and battery backup systems, solar solutions perhaps, generators. But you're going to need power to keep the system up and running.
Can you still use alternative energy supplies to power, you know, a smart home? You know, you think a smart home, you think I've got this, I had this in place before Eskom started load shedding. I want to keep it going. The two obviously talk to one another. They go hand in hand.
Yeah, absolutely. I think a lot of the energy products these days are effectively technology products anyway.
Sure.
So, you know, a lot of your you know, your inverters, your batteries, there's programming involved, you know, and it effectively is IT, so as much as it is electrical. So, you know, even the energy products, the inverters, the batteries can be accessed remotely as well through app technology.
Yeah.
So you can monitor, you know, what are the levels of your batteries, how much are you generating from the sun, and just keep an eye on your system.
The systems are like amazing. I saw somebody open an app the other day and show me, like, at this present time, the sun is shining, charging X amount of my lithium batteries at home. And if you look over here, and it showed them like success. I was looking at this thing, it was amazing. It showed you a graph of how much power is being generated by the sun, how much if it becomes overcast and rains, it will have to rely on the generator, and how much capacity, and. It's the most fascinating thing to look at, because they've made the technology such that it's not really boring. You see these meters and you see this like very technical layout, but it's very straightforward in terms of what you're seeing. So Craig, the technology's definitely evolved to the level now where these apps make life obviously a hell of a lot easier to gauge what kind of power we've got in reserves.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the technology moves quickly, and it also allows you to know how to scale your systems. You know, if you're going to be needing more generation from the sun, you can add panels. If you're needing more time, or the load shedding schedule is getting you, then you need more battery storage to keep going. You can monitor all that and figure it out through the apps. Very handy.
Absolutely. Craig, like with anything in life, and I know that this is a sad part of the industry, that any industry, is that there are people that are chance takers. How many times do you get phone calls to have to fix a problem somebody else has created in terms of taking a deposit from somebody? We saw it on Carte Blanche a couple of weeks ago, how many people have been suckered by these dubious companies that are out there. You must be seeing a lot of it in your industry.
Absolutely, it's all over the show. I think, like with anything, there's a great demand at the moment, and there's a lot of guys looking to just jump on that bandwagon, and taking advantage, of people that really just need help.
Sure.
So that is a problem. So effectively, what you're looking for is a company that's going to take the process a little bit, reputable. Got a track record and going to take the process a little bit more slowly. Mm. I think, doing things like site surveys to assess your actual needs, quality checks and controls.
Yeah.
And then, to be honest, if you're using a finance model where you're paying on a monthly basis, then you're actually not paying cash up front,
Yeah.
The installation's actually completed first, yeah.
Correct. I want to just pick your brain on that very quickly. I know we've been chatting a while, but I've heard that term being thrown around quite a bit lately. A lot of people can't find the finance now to go along and say, hey, Craig, I need the full house. There's finance options in place. In your opinion, a good option to go for if people can't afford to go and the upfront costs of going to alternative energy sources now, is that payment plan, is it a proper viable option?
Well, I think it's probably the better option. I mean, you've got to remember that if you're installing a system properly and managing, whether it be a smart home system or an energy solution, you're going to be saving money on your electricity on a monthly basis. So if you're doing a rental or a finance model, you can actually offset your monthly cost against your savings.
Got you.
And it just makes it a bit more affordable. It also means that the company that's installing it effectively is tied to you
yes.
in respect of monthly payments. They have to, they're looking after you, they're taking care of you. And making sure that your system is working correctly.
Absolutely. I love this. Craig, lovely picking your brain today. And it's also, when we're trying to navigate the field and that minefield out there of reputable people, it's often ones that have stood the test of times and been there long before Eskom has implemented load shedding, and Intergrove being just that as well. So, Craig, a huge thanks to you and your team for being one of those credible suppliers and for your time this morning as well.
I like you. Follow us on Facebook at Ryan O'Connor Breakfast Show.